greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Yes, we do. We always sing them.
You're a little slow on that, Wendy.
I thought Bill had it.
Can we do that again?
I was thinking
a little more enthusiasm.
Eric, we all sing the praises of you because you're here,
it's silly not to. I know. I'm sensitive, but
Eric Zorn, the sensitive Eric Zorn, is here from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, you wrote yesterday about the soda tax. Now we're about a month into it, maybe a little over a month.
It started August 2nd, I think. August 1st, August 2nd, right at the beginning of the month. Yeah, it was delayed by a month because of some actions in court.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of talk about it, a lot of pressure, and it's going to come before the county board on Wednesday. There's going to be a motion introduced to repeal the tax. And there's been a lot of jockeying going on in advance of that. If you've been watching TV at all, you've seen all ads on both sides.
Paid for by?
Well, the ads supporting the tax are paid for by Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York.
Right.
Why is he involved in this?
Well, he has some pet causes. One of them is gun control, and the other one is sugary drinks. Remember, he was the guy who tried to limit the size of the Big Gulp.
Right.
In New York.
He wanted you to have a small gulp.
He wanted you to have a small gulp, yeah. And the thing, first of all, I want to say about this, they're going to introduce a resolution or a motion on Wednesday to repeal the tax. And the tax passed by one vote, which is why all the commissioners who voted for it have a target on their backs. And Tony Preckwinkle cast the deciding vote. What's going to happen on Wednesday probably is that this motion will be referred to a committee or tabled for another month. It's probably not going to vote on it on Wednesday.
Because why? Just a stall tactic?
Because that's the way your government works. They introduce things and they take some.
And I
don't mind that they take some time to think about these things.
Yeah.
And they certainly debated this tax before it came around. And like I say, it was a close vote. But it's a massively unpopular tax.
Mm-hmm.
The polls they've taken on it show about 80 to 90% of the people don't like it. I know Wendy, you're making a little face.
No, yesterday
you don't like it either, right?
Jim was going to run to the Jewel, and I said, I need some Coke and Diet Coke and Sprite, and he goes, I'm not getting it at our Jewel. I mean, we make a separate trip somewhere to not pay the taxes when you're getting a bunch of soda.
I heard from a number of people this weekend. I wrote about it in my Sunday column, and I got a bunch of emails over the weekend from people who live. Now you live close enough to the county line that you can cross over, and it's a penny an ounce tax, which on a normal can of soda is 12 cents, but on a 2-liter bottle, 67 cents,
and on three 12ers,
I can't do that math, but it's a lot, and they do the math, and it shows up on your receipt. So it's not like one of these hidden taxes, because some of the alcohol taxes, cigarette taxes, I believe, are hidden. They don't show up as a separate line item on your receipt, I don't believe. So you don't really see it. You just go, oh, that's what it costs. That's what gas costs, $2.67 a gallon. But in fact, there's a ton of taxes on that. The actual gas itself doesn't cost
really
that much. So what's happening is this tax is, we're being confronted with it all the time when we see it. And I heard from a bunch of people who said that they go over the border and they do their other shopping while they're there.
Right.
They say, well, if I'm going to go over to Elmhurst,
might as well get everything I need.
I'm going to go and do all my grocery shopping there. And you can save, if you're buying a lot, if you're buying a month's worth of soda, you can save quite a bit of money doing that.
I don't know if I discussed this with you. It certainly came up with Wendy and myself. But a couple weeks ago at a Mariano's, right after the tax was enforced, there was a sign. Now, I drink a lot of club soda. Not sweetened in any way. It's just carbonated water.
You like to be a member of a club. That's why you do it.
It's the only club that will have you as a member.
And even they, even at Canada Dry, we're like, we'll get back. We'll let you know. All right. So there's a big sign on the display of club soda saying that due to the sweetened beverage tax, there will be an extra penny an ounce. And I said, well, this isn't a sweetened beverage. This is just club soda.
But you didn't tell anybody.
You didn't like go and berate a clerk.
No, because I don't think
that would have been the way to do it.
They were following orders. What do you want us to do?
Well, you go to the customer service and say, I think you better double check this because I'm sure the sign's not there anymore. Someone must have complained.
But other people have said that in other stores, it's the same way, that they're paying for beverages that aren't sweetened.
I had a couple of letters this weekend that told me, and this sounds bizarre, but it may be true, which is that places that serve unsweetened iced tea in the, when you order like at a Papa John's or whatever, and they give you the cup and they say, go and fill your cup. That they've taken out the unsweetened iced tea because that isn't taxed. and all the other beverages in the machine are taxed. So that if they just give you the cup, they can't account. So you could say, I'm just going to get unsweetened iced tea. You could fill it up with Coke and cheat them out of the tax.
Yeah.
So places, I'm told, now this could be fake news, but I was told this, and I'd like to have some confirmation if anyone's heard that.
No, if anyone's at one of those soda fountains right now, call us 312-981-7200.
That would totally defeat the purpose, because there is, and I want to say this, there is a health concern that they're dealing with, that sugar beverages are a problem. It's not good.
So are chips and candy bars, though.
I know they are. So
not so loud. They'll tax those too.
I think
don't say so loud.
I think if they're going to impose a sin tax, they ought to impose it broadly on things like that are bad for you, that are just like, you know, full of saturated fat, full of sugar. Why not? But to pick on beverages and have that huge tax, that's
right.
What really got people riled up.
Just not on Hot Pockets. That's all I'm
saying.
Don't
do a Hot Pocket tax. I'm against this tax 100%. However, whenever I see this commercial, it does kind of resonate. We do have a weight problem in this country, and kids are being targeted by not just soda pop companies, but anyone who makes a sugary treat. So I say to myself, this isn't the worst idea in the world, but it needs to be figured out a little bit better.
It should fall on the parent, shouldn't it, to say no more?
Well, one of the things that I talked about in this column was that I resonate with this health concern.
Yeah.
I understand. I think it's legitimate. I just wonder, where was all this health concern last year, 2 years ago? Why weren't we hearing? Why haven't there been public service campaigns? Don't give your kids these drinks. I mean, there are parents who feed their kids Mountain Dew. You know, I mean, it's just crazy.
But this also applies to unsweetened drinks too, with, you know, Diet Coke and Diet Sodas. So
well,
you can't take that.
They're sweetened with artificial sweeteners.
Exactly, but that is not leading to obesity problems. So that's kind of defeating their purpose.
But there's other problems involved with artificial sweeteners.
Well, then you go with, you shouldn't have bacon. Are you going to tax bacon because there's nitrates in it?
Better not.
You know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean. But as far as artificial sweeteners go, I went down that rabbit hole when I was researching this column. And there's a lot of studies. But the American Cancer Society, the American Heart Association, the FDA, the World Health Organization, all these places, they're okay with NutraSweet or aspartame.
Because diabetics can't have sugar, so that's what diabetics drink if they want soda.
Right. And what I'm saying is that they don't think that the health problems that have been linked to this. I mean, I think when you give rats and amazing doses of aspartame, then they will develop cancer. So, I mean, it's not, but the studies have shown that like normal or everyday use of it is fine, I believe, you know, but there, you know, this is one of the things where the science is not nearly as good as it is on just like feeding your kids sugar water, which is not a good idea. And I think this whole health campaign, this whole excuse or this whole reason that the county board has put forward, like, well, this is a public health matter. It would resonate a lot more if we had been seeing this for years. Like if this were like a seatbelt tax, I mean, you know, wear your seatbelt, you get an extra tax. Mm-hmm. So we would know, like, this has been a problem for a long time. You know, I believe that it has, but it just all of a sudden all this concern for our health and Michael Bloomberg coming in here and spending millions of dollars. Another interesting thing here is that there's been a political action committee formed to go after the commissioners who voted for the tax. Michael Bloomberg has just announced that he is going to fund, you know, give as much money as it takes to support the county commissioners.
So what's in it for Michael Bloomberg, though? He's not in office here in Illinois in any way.
He's a believer. He's, like I said, he funded.
He must have stock in a water company somewhere or something.
I don't think so. No, I think he's actually just, you know, you choose your term, a do-gooder, a meddler, or whatever. But, you know, those are two different things. Well, maybe not. I mean, I think the impulse is not selfish in this point.
Right.
And, you know, he funded a lot of Robin Kelly's campaign, Congresswoman Kelly, because of her stance on gun control. He put a lot of money into that, for instance. He's a rich guy, and he spends his money that way, and he thinks that this is an important issue. And you know, and I would agree with him that, I mean, I like these ads that I see about, you know, these, you know, the kids looking at the vending machine where you see diabetes kidney ailments.
That's very effective.
It is. And, you know, I think any parent who's tempted to give their kids, you know, and I'm talking about little kids. You shouldn't be giving your little kids these drinks. You really shouldn't.
But getting back to your original point, is this a dire enough issue to most voters to where they'd say, wow, Tony Preckwinkle spearheaded this and it's costing me extra money, I'm not voting for it?
See, I think so. I do think so, because most people don't pay any attention to county commission races or even the county board president race. I mean, it's one of those offices. Most people don't really even know what the county does. You know, it runs jails and the hospitals and the courts. But,
right.
But most people, you know, the county actually doesn't intersect with your life most of the time. So when it comes time to vote for your county, I mean, can you name your county commissioner? I'm not sure that I can, actually. I'm kind of embarrassed to say. And so when you see a lot of ads out there, you see a lot of mailers, this, don't vote for him, he voted for this tax. I think that's going to sway people
because
people really, really don't like this tax, which is why I think that the county board may pull back. But I do think that they need money.
Yeah, right.
The county does need money.
There's no question. So. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're at 312-981-7200. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn is here. He's our guest, Chicago Tribune columnist Eric Zorn. Eric, today, as you're well aware, is the 16th anniversary of the attacks, September 11 attacks. It's still hard to look at that date and not wince just a little bit, isn't it? It's awful.
Yeah, I didn't realize, I didn't see it coming. I knew yesterday was the 10th of September,
yeah.
And this morning I looked at a calendar and went, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, Hurricane Irma is taking a lot of the press from
your disaster consciousness is being absorbed by that
kind of though bit. I mean, yeah. We've all been looking at the damage that it has done to Florida. It covered the whole state, and then I feel like, oh man, we should never forget 9/11.
Yeah, it's, you know, we all remember where we were, and you guys must have been on the air, right, at the time?
No, I was on my way to work, and our program director, Jeff Schwartz, at the time said, go pick up your kid in daycare and go home with your family and be together, because no one knew what was going to happen down here.
Well, that's really true.
Jeff Schwartz.
Yeah, I didn't come into the office either that day.
It was, you didn't want to go down in the city fearing something was going to happen here.
I was careful about my, remember they had the anthrax scare right after that?
Yes.
You guys have this too, where you, every time you get an envelope from someone you didn't recognize, you're like,
I have Bill open them.
Yeah,
for me.
Wendy throws them my way.
And you ask Kevin to do it.
Right. Right.
But I remember thinking at the time that things had changed completely.
Yeah.
And they did.
Like, we lost our innocence, kind of.
We lost our innocence, and that this was going to become a regular occurrence, that we were going to have massive terrorist attacks here, like they have around the world. I mean, places, you know, in the Middle East where, you know, a market bombing with 100 people killed is not unheard of by any means. And it's been sort of amazing that we haven't, I mean, we had Orlando, right? I mean, there have been, you know, incidents where many people have died, but we haven't had anything close to that scale. We haven't had another over here. We haven't had another airline incident that I'm aware of.
But I was scared for a really long time.
Oh yeah,
I really was.
I was. You sort of wondering, were we ever gonna fly again? Were comedians ever gonna be able to tell jokes again?
Yeah,
and it was just this incredible pall that came over this country, and I it was unlike anything that I remember or has happened since. And I do think that we have gotten back to normal, right? I mean,
you had to.
Yes and no. It'll change the way, probably in our lifetimes, that air travel is conducted. I mean, now, and you still see people complain you have to wait in a long line to be screened before you get on an airplane. I'm fine with that.
But there still are people who get through with, like, these fake dummy bombs.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, are we better off?
I think we are. It's almost miraculous that nothing major has happened in 16 years. Because, as you said, I thought, I don't know what normal will be from now on. If they pulled this off, how many more guys are going to go, oh, I can one better that. I can one better that.
And there's so many soft targets in our country, really.
Without
think
a
about
doubt.
It. I mean, and they have hardened some of them. It's hard to get into ball games and big arenas anymore without being wanded. But, gosh, you know, the subway system, a lot of our other transportation systems are vulnerable. Our shopping malls.
Well, you remember right after it happened, they said you got to watch the water supply because for some reason they had determined that would be their next move, was to go after a water supply. Nothing really major has happened, but I hope they're staying vigilant and keeping on it.
They must be, right?
They have to be.
But the other thing is that one thing I do remember right in the aftermath was how we all came together in this way. Up and down my block, on the northwest side, everyone had a flag out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everyone had a flag out
for
a couple of weeks. You still do?
I have it up all the time.
Wow. Good for you. So nobody does it our neighborhood anymore. So on holidays we do. But also, remember, like, President Bush at the time had his approval ratings went like to 90%. Like, we were all like behind him. I don't think that the approval ratings for any president should probably ever aspire to 90%. Our country's too divided on so many things. But the fact that we all just set those aside and focused on this, it was a reminder. It was a good reminder that we are, you know, we are a nation of people, and we do have a lot in common, and we share a lot of values, and we let our differences really get under our skin. And it's, you know, I think we're as polarized now as we ever were maybe before.
The one that always makes me emotional, and it's crazy that it does, but in the history of sports, one of the most heated rivalries are the Yankees and the Red Sox. They just do not share anything, any kind of love for each other.
Right.
But after this happened, there was a big sign, a huge banner, Boston loves New York. And I just went, well, I didn't think I'd ever see this. That's how serious this became, was that the people of Boston were reaching out saying, hey, New York, we got you. We love you.
Well, there was some talk about that. I think one of the conservative commentators talked about the spirit of 9/12, that the country came together and that it would be good to try to anchor ourselves in that spirit more often than we do.
Yeah.
And it's something to think about. I mean, I don't know what are you supposed to do on the anniversary every year of this event. I mean, we all, like I said, we remember where we were, what was going on. But do we sort of step back and go, yeah, you know, when we were all under attack,
right?
We all felt vulnerable. We all came together. We all realized that we, like I said, we have a lot in common. We have a lot, share a lot of values, and we shouldn't let that escape us.
It partly because someone else was the villain that all of America perceived? Whoever did this, that's the bad guy. We got to come together and be against that bad guy.
Right.
Whereas now, I don't know if anyone's positive who the bad guy is.
Well, Trump's the bad guy. That's the.
All right, I guess.
In Eric Zorn's opinion.
See, I've already ruined the spirit of that.
No, right. You did.
I've made it partisan.
You did.
It's a reflex with me. So.
It's Eric Zorn, everybody. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. He's always good. Thanks, Eric. We appreciate it. We'll take a quick break and then find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.